Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning and welcome to worship this day. This is the day the Lord has made and we can rejoice and we can be glad in it. God is good on this beautiful fall day. We gather and worship whether you are in person or you are worshiping with us online. It's good to be with you. I'm Pastor Lindsay, one of the clergy here that serves in this congregation. And we welcome you in on this beautiful day as we're a congregation that seeks to know God and love God and serve God. And there are so many different ways to do that here at our church. One way I would encourage you to stop by our hospitality tables here. You can learn more about serving, about being a part of the NOAA Project. Bill Drabing is collecting items for the NOAA Project, and we're gonna send blessings to folks in Detroit as part of the NOAA Project ministry. Encourage you to stop by that table after worship to learn more and to get connected in that way. Well, this morning, we have a great announcement to share with you this morning. So I'm going to invite forward Pastor John to share with us a great announcement on behalf of the SPRC.
Good morning, church. I just wanted to share this great news with you. Over the last 2 months, really, we've been in the midst of an interview process to try to find somebody to come on board and help us as a director of student and children's ministries here at Brighton and Whitmore Lake First United Methodist Church. We were very fortunate. We had over 20 applicants for the position, and really throughout the entire process, we had one candidate who really distinguished herself as the person that we needed to hire. Bailey Brown is going to be our new director of children and student ministries here at Brighton and Whitmore Lake. So please welcome Bailey. So some of you may know Bailey because she grew up in our church, and this was the place that gave her some of her foundational experiences in the Christian faith. From there, she served as a camp counselor at Spring Hill Camps and went on to SVSU and graduated from there, and now is a student at Grand Rapids Theological Seminary. So as I said, throughout the entire process, as we are interviewing Bailey, she distinguished herself as somebody with incredible faith, a passion and interest in the well-being and spiritual development of youth and students. And in addition to that, she feels called to write curriculum for children and youth programming. And so without further ado, I want to allow Bailey to have a chance to share some words with you. But please welcome Bailey Brown to our team here at Brighton and Whitmore Lake First United Methodist Church.
I'm so short. Hi, everybody. It's great to be here. And I think I saw some familiar faces as you were all walking in. So it's wonderful to be back at the place that kind of raised me, the community that built me up and had such an integral part in putting me on the path to where I am today. I definitely wouldn't be here if my Grandpa Gary hadn't invited my family to come here. We're not technically related, but he's still my grandpa. So thank you all so much for welcoming me. And I just really look forward to getting to know each of you and getting to know the kids better and the teens and the youth and getting to be a part of their journey in the same way that all of you in this church was a part of mine. I'm super excited for that. And I look forward to some fun events in the fall and getting to know everyone. I know it's a weird time to be meeting people, so but I'm still excited to be here and start to get to know all of you. Thank you.
So we just want to invite you. This is a wonderful time in the life of our church. We just want to invite you to extend your hand as we pray for Bailey as she begins her journey here as a staff person among us. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we're thankful for the calling that you have on Bailey's life. We're grateful that she answered that call as she's currently a student in seminary. And we pray for her work here at Brighton and at Whitmore Lake as we seek to reach more young children and youth and young adults here in our midst. We pray as we reach out into this community that this would be a church that families would connect to, that Vacation Bible Schools would someday once again be filled with children, and that youth ministry programs would be overflowing with young people who want to go on mission experiences and retreats. Bless Bailey and her work as we continue to reach the next generation of disciples of Jesus Christ here at our church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Our opening prayer this morning: come to the water, all you who thirst. Come drink deeply from the river of life. Come to the water, all you who are weary. Come rest in the quiet pools of God's love. Come to the water, all you who long for justice. Come be renewed in God's ever-flowing stream. For God is here among us, washing away the dust and grime of our lives and pouring out the Spirit on all who thirst. Let us worship God together. Amen. The gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 35 to 40. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us to quench the thirst of thirsty people. Amen. I have the fortunate opportunity to be, at this present moment, the chairperson of our Michigan Conference relationship with the country of Liberia. The United Methodist Church is a global denomination, and we, as the Michigan area, are in a covenant partnership with two different annual conferences. One of them is in Haiti, and the other one is in Liberia. And at this moment, I get to chair our relationship with the Liberian annual conference of the United Methodist Church. And so I've had the opportunity twice now to go to Liberia and visit our brothers and sisters over there in the United Methodist Church, where the church is actually growing and expanding rapidly. And I'll never forget a couple of years ago, the first time that I went to Liberia, I had the fortunate opportunity to see what it was like for folks halfway around the world to go get access to clean and safe drinking water. One of my friends, who's been working in the United Methodist Church for several years, drove us out of the capital of Liberia into the interior of the country, where many of the folks live in small villages and communities. And he drove me into the interior, and my group and I got out of the vehicle into this small town with maybe about 500 or 600 people in this small village. And he told the village that we wanted to go walk for water. Now, if you're not aware, in some countries in Africa, folks have to walk between 3 and 5 kilometers to have access to clean and safe drinking water. And what they'll do is they'll take a gigantic plastic bucket, and miraculously, I have no idea how they do this, but they'll balance it on their head, walk all the way to the water source, fill their bucket with water, and walk all the way back. Now, it might be sort of comforting to imagine yourself in a place that's 85 to 90 degrees at the moment as we sit out here in like 60 degree weather. But if you can imagine what it would be like with a bucket on your head, walking 3 to 5 kilometers one way, 3 to 5 kilometers back, with a bucket on your head in 85 to 90 degree weather with 90% humidity. And if you can imagine doing that 3 or 4 times a day, that's what most Liberian mothers and children have to do on a day in and day out basis to make sure that their children have enough water to wash themselves, to make sure that they have enough water to cook, to make sure that they have enough water to drink. This is what they do day in and day out. And if you think about it, that's hours and hours of everybody's day that's just spent walking to and from a water source. Well, I had to ask, can I do it? Can I do this myself? Can I walk for water just like folks in Liberia do? So sure enough, I talked to my friend and he translated into the language of the people in Liberia. And they said, they first laughed. You could tell exactly when he got to the punchline of the joke that this guy from the United States wanted to carry with water on his head a bucket all the way to the water source and back. And the whole village was laughing at me, but I asked him first, is this culturally appropriate? Would you be okay with me doing this, or would I be transgressing a cultural boundary? And the village said, no, absolutely not. It wouldn't be inappropriate. We just think it's funny that you would come all the way from America on a plane 36 hours to get to Liberia so that you could put a bucket on your head and walk 3 kilometers to a source of water and bring it back. But I had to know, at least in some small way, what it was like to walk for water. And so there I was, I put the bucket on my head and started walking, and it felt like a third of the village followed just so that they could watch this happen. And we walked to the water source, and sure enough, when we got there, it was about a 15-foot across small pond that couldn't have been more than 2 or 3 feet deep. And you walk out into this water source and you take your bucket and you dip it into the pond and you draw water and then you walk back. Well, fortunately, everybody else went first, because when I did it, I took my bucket and I scraped the sediment off the bottom of the pond, and the entire pond was disturbed with a whole bunch of dirty water. This American, college and seminary educated, had no idea how to provide basic subsistence level water access for the village. Nevertheless, with the bucket on my head, I walked 3 kilometers back, and I'll never forget the experience of walking back into the village. Literally, everybody stopped what they were doing so that they could see this white guy from America carrying with a bucket on his head about 30 gallons worth of water. And the whole village broke out in laughter as they observed this. For 950 million people in our world today, that's a daily experience of walking for water. To make matters worse, most schools in Liberia don't have access to clean and safe drinking water either. Can you imagine what it would be like to show up for class at 7 o'clock in the morning and from 7 till 3 o'clock in the afternoon to not have anything to drink? In 85-degree or 90-degree temperatures, no air conditioning in the classroom. I mean, some of you, Bill, like you, are teachers. I mean, can you imagine what it would be like with high school students teaching calculus with no water? Can you imagine how unruly the high school students would probably be in the United States if they were sitting in a classroom without water from 7 a.m. till 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Well, I'm here to tell you that our brothers and sisters in Liberia will sit one student after another, completely well-behaved, well-mannered, totally focused on the teacher from sun up all the way until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because they know that they're the lucky ones. Their parents decided to send them to school instead of their siblings. Most parents in Liberia have to look one of their kids in the eyes and say, you're the one that's going to school, while your siblings are going to be working in market so that we can raise enough money to pay your tuition. I don't know if you're a parent, but I'd have a hard time looking one of my kids in their eyes and saying, you're the lucky one that gets to go to school and your brother or sister don't. Well, in Liberia, I remember we went to another village that was on the mountainside, a hillside, if you will, and the water would run down the hill into this thing that they called a shallow well. And a shallow well is just a place where water gathers at a low point in the village. And instead of walking a long distance to get access to clean water, they just walk to this low point in the village where the water sort of accumulates. And I asked them, you know, what is it like to use this as your water source? And instead of answering with any words, one of the villagers just pointed to their stomach. They didn't really have to say anything more. Well, one of my friends, his name is Jefferson Knight, has stayed at our house several times. He's a wonderful friend. And as I got to know him, I asked him, you know, what is it that the United Methodist Church is doing in Liberia? And he said, well, it's my job to bring people water. He told me a story about how God called him to do this work, and he got a phone call as he was working for the United Methodist Church in Liberia from a villager who said that everybody in the village was getting sick and they couldn't figure out why. So he went and visited the village, and they took him to the water source, which was this tiny little river that ran through the village, and they started walking up the waterway until they found a dead body in the water source that was upstream. They pulled the body from the river, and it was immediately evident why everyone in the village was getting sick. And it was because that person died in the river that my friend Jefferson got this call from God on his life to provide everybody, all 4.5 million citizens in Liberia, with a source of clean and safe drinking water. When we read a scripture passage like this, in Matthew 25, verses 35 through 40, this story where Jesus looks at the disciples and says, if you want to be faithful, if you want to know what it means to follow me, if you want to know what it means to live a faithful life, then it means this. When people are thirsty, give them something to drink. When people are hungry, you feed them. When people are sick, visit them in the hospital. When people are in prison, visit them. When people are naked, give them something to wear. And I remember sitting at my dining room table when my friend Jefferson said, well, I guess I feel called to put wells in every single community, every single village, every single school across my country of Liberia. When I heard that, I kind of looked at my life and I thought, man, I don't think I've been dreaming big enough. I felt like I had the honor and privilege of meeting somebody really extraordinary. And by God's grace, the United Methodist Church has put about 375 wells in Liberia across that country. Some of those wells have gone into schools. And in addition to those wells, they installed flush toilets for sanitation. I don't know about you, but it gives me a tremendous amount of pride to know that when Jesus asked his disciples 2,000 years ago to feed hungry people, to give people water when they're thirsty, to visit the sick and the imprisoned and give people clothes when they have none, it gives me a great amount of pride to know that our church is, in addition to sharing our faith, in addition to telling people about Jesus Christ, is backing it up with things like the Hope Closet that exists over in the Vena Dental Clinic that passes out bedding to people who don't have bedding. It gives me great joy to know that we have quilters who are quilting quilts that go to folks who are sick. It gives me great joy that when we found out that there are church members who have members of their families who are imprisoned, that this church reaches out in care and concern to those folks as well. But I got to tell you, church, that when there's still 950 million folks in our world today who lack access to clean and safe drinking water, and I think through all of the things that I use water for, it kind of breaks my heart that 2,000 years ago when Jesus said, give thirsty people something to drink, we still have unfinished business to do. I don't know about you, but I hope we don't go another 2,000 years with people still craving access to clean and safe drinking water. I'm grateful to serve a church that answers the needs of folks right here in our community. I got to believe if Jesus were alive today and he was looking us in the face and we asked him, Jesus, what do we have to do to be faithful? He probably would say something like, Well, there's sick people, right? You should give them access to affordable health care. There's people in our midst who are still hungry, unfortunately. I hope that you develop something like the NOAA Project to make sure that they have bagged lunches to take home when they're hungry. And I got to believe if Jesus were alive today, he'd probably be proud about our church, because last week I got up in front of you and told you a story about somebody in our midst who needed a car so that they could go back and forth to work. And sure enough, right after the service, somebody came up to me and said, "What do you need?" And I told them the amount, and right out of their pocket came the amount of money that the church needed to buy somebody a car. So yesterday, I met up with this person, and I wish you all could have been there. I don't know if you remember what it was like to turn the key in the ignition for the first car that you've ever driven, but whatever facial expression you had on your face at that moment, that was what this person had. As the engine turned over in her brand new Dodge Durango, you should have seen her face. So I'm grateful to be a part of a church that answers the needs of the community. I'm grateful that we aren't just serious about sharing our faith with other people with our words, but we back them up with actions too. It's one of the reasons we support organizations like Habitat for Humanity, which you'll hear about in just a couple of moments during a mission moment. Because we believe that in order to follow Jesus with our lives, we have to follow Jesus with our actions as well. When folks are hungry, we give them something to eat. When they're thirsty, we give them water to drink. When they're sick, we visit them. Thanks be to God for a church that responds to the needs of our community. I wish you could have been there when that engine turned over and this person knew that she could get to work so that she could provide a little bit of income for her family. That Dodge Durango sounded real great when that engine turned over. Thanks be to God. Amen. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we're grateful to be a church that can respond to the needs of our community all around us. And yet we continue to hear your call on our life to be faithful, to provide resources and support to our brothers and sisters in need. And so as we move through this sermon series, as we reflect on what it means to be thirsty, may we thirst for justice. May we thirst for equal access to food and water. May we thirst for the changes that we yearn to see in the world so that someday here on earth we might see your kingdom as it is in heaven, a place where you reign, a place where the lion lays down with the lamb, a place where we're all safe and secure and healthy, and all of our needs are provided for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God is good. Amen. 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 It's good to gather with you in worship this day to hear those words of Scripture, to be reminded that not everybody has access to clean, safe drinking water. To be reminded that some parents have to look into the eyes of their children and decide who gets to go to school if they're fortunate enough to send one child to school. It's hard to even imagine those things, and yet we thirst for a world where justice is known, where peace is experienced, and where God's grace and mercy just flow freely like streams of flowing water. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we are called, we are challenged to use our time, our talent, our treasure, our passion, our wisdom, our insight to transform this world, to share God's love in Christ's name. And so we're invited this morning to invest our time by stopping by the NOAA Project mission table there and getting involved in that way. We're also invited this morning to hear a little bit about Habitat for Humanity, to share our time in that way, but we're also invited this morning to share our treasure, to share our tithe. So after worship, I would invite you to go online and give electronically in that way, or to visit our hospitality table there and share of your financial offerings in that way, that we might continue to bless this world just as we have been blessed. The humble widow placed a tiny coin in the offering box. It didn't seem like it was much, but it was given with gratitude. It was given with all of her heart, no matter how big or small it is that we have to offer. May we share those offerings generously with great gratitude. Our church has been involved with Habitat for Humanity for so many years now. I can't even remember the number of years now, thanks to April Shower's wonderful leadership. And this morning, it is great to have Leah here with us from Habitat for Humanity to share with us a little bit about the mission and the ministry and the way people are involved in Habitat. Come on up, Leah. I'd welcome your story, and so glad to have you with us in worship this day. Let's welcome Leah.
Thank you. Thank you all for having me out here today and for partnering with us for a number of years. For those of you that don't know, Habitat for Humanity was founded on faith, and we continue to work in that way. And you all are part of a bigger partnership that we have with about 16 congregations in the area that come together to build one or two homes every year with us. Our goal this year is to build 12 homes, two of those being the homes that you all are helping build. April has more information at the table over there about the two homes and one of the families that will be served. And this weekend, you all are coming out to volunteer with us. I'll talk a little bit about how our volunteer experience has changed. However, the costs continue to rise for our homeownership program and its partnerships and folks like you that come together not only to serve with us on site, but also serving and providing affordable homeownership. So this year, obviously, COVID has changed a lot of the things that we are doing. Fortunately, we were lucky to get a match on all donations that come through from your congregation, from Wesley, and all the 16 congregations that are involved with Good News Group, from Thrivent Financial. They are offering a match on every donation that comes in, so know that your donation is doubled when you give to the houses this year. Aside from that, we also estimate that it takes about 2,000 volunteer hours to help us complete one home for one family in need. Therefore, we are calling upon you that are able to help and join us on site. There's a sign up at the table as well. We can guarantee that we are making sure our sites are safe. Now, we are hoping to not spread COVID. Therefore, we're requiring folks to wear masks when they're on site. We're asking people to bring their own lunches. We are maintaining a 6-foot social distance while we're on site as best as we can. Obviously, there are some tasks that do not allow for such, so we ask that you partner up with maybe a family member or a friend. However, we understand that folks need to stay safe in this environment. We also clean and sanitize our tools prior to folks arriving on our sites, and we also clean them afterwards as well. We do have masks, we do have sanitizer, we have all sorts of things on site to also keep things safe. Usually we do not ask people to bring their own tools. We do have all the tools. However, given the times, we're hoping to not spread that contamination and asking folks to bring their tools when they come and join us. But if you'd like to learn more, there's more information over at April's table. We have information on the family that you all will be helping this year. And just very grateful for you all coming together and helping us provide affordable home ownership for those who need it most. Thank you.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time. This morning we have two prayer quilts that we're going to be praying for. Although only one of them's here right now, that doesn't mean we can't pray for them both. Our prayers will reach out to them. Please hold them in your prayers. And if you would right now, please raise your hand as we pray for them. Come on, raise your hand. You people at home, raise your hands too. Good and gracious God, as we pray for our two prayer quilt recipients, we ask your blessings on them and ask that you give them strength to endure the situations that they are in. We pray for them in hope They know that as they wrap themselves in the warmth of these quilts, they are also wrapped in our love and our prayers for them. Help them in this time of need and give them the peace they need at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Now as we move into an attitude of prayer. God of life, you have promised to be with us every day, especially in difficult days and times like these. Give us clarity in our minds, strength in our work, and discernment. Rest as we sleep, peace in our minds. Be with those who need help more than we do ourselves, and help us to see what we can offer from your love. Bring wisdom to doctors. Give understanding to scientists. Endow caregivers with compassion and generosity. Bring healing to those who are ill. Protect those who are most at risk. Give comfort to those who have lost a loved one. Welcome those who have died into your eternal home. Loving God, help us to focus on what we have, not on what is removed or changed. Strengthen us when we feel discouraged or overwhelmed. Embrace us so that we know your loving presence within us and among us. Walk with us as we bring your love and carry your light into the world. It seems that I return to you most easily when I need comfort. Oh God, hello, here I am again, knowing that you are waiting for me with love and warming light. In the shadow of your love, I find relief that renews my soul. Day and night, you are my refuge. Good and gracious God, my family and friends need tranquility and assurance. Help me to offer them your tenderness. Those in my community who are suffering need care. Help me to be generous and to keep contact with the forgotten. We need to remember your love is always there for us and that you will never leave us, even in our darkest hour. May my prayers and support be for us all. Lord, bless all those who labor, whether they are compensated by paycheck or pride, let them know their true worth in your eyes. May all workers be gifted with a sense of service to the common good and graced with the satisfaction of a job well done. Thank you for those who work, providing protection, comfort, healing, and relief from suffering and stress, especially during these hard times we are living in. May all of our labors be for your goodness and glory. Eternal God, we hear again your gracious invitation today. Come to me, all who thirst. We come seeking to have our thirsting souls quenched with your presence as we join our hearts and voices together, praying the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
We gather around the communion table this morning. You didn't have an opportunity to receive the elements this morning. I'm sure our ushers can help make their way throughout our worship space that you might receive the elements. If you're worshiping with us online at home, Perhaps you can find some bread or some crackers, some pita, some tortilla chips, and some juice or some water this morning. We gather at this table, and we remember that on the night before Jesus gave himself up for us, he gathered with his disciples, those 12 disciples that had journeyed with him for 3 years in ministry. Those disciples that had been a part of his healing and his teaching and his miracles of feeding of the 5,000 and ministering and welcoming all by his side. And then on that evening in the upper room, Jesus gathered with his disciples. And he took bread. He gave thanks to God for it. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to the disciples and he told them to eat. For this is his body broken for them. This is the bread of life. They ate and they dined and they conversed and they enjoyed their time together. And when the meal was over, then Jesus took a cup of wine. And in our tradition, we use Welch's grape juice. And he took that cup and he lifted it to God and he gave thanks to God for that cup. And he told the disciples that this was a cup, a new covenant that was going to be poured out for the forgiveness of sin. This would be the cup of grace. And every time that we drink this cup, we might remember Jesus. That Jesus offers us that grace anew each and every day. Let us pray. Oh, holy God, may you pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of the bread and of the cup. May they be for Christ, be for us Christ's body and broken for us. That we might be for the world Christ's hands and feet and voice and presence. That we might be for the world Christ's love made real. Until Christ comes and we feast at his heavenly banquet. God, all honor, all glory is yours now and forevermore. Amen. We come to this table. It's not my table. It's not your table. It's Christ's table. It's available for all. Whether you've been going to church since you were a little child or if you're just coming into church for the very first time this day, this is Christ's table. As you receive the communion elements this morning, a word of instruction here. There's a very thin layer of plastic. You can peel that little layer of plastic off and you'll receive and find the wafer. It's the bread of life given for us. Or if you receive the gluten-free elements, the bread of life given for us. Let's take and eat together. Then as you peel back the second layer, receive the cup of grace and know that it is good. God's grace and mercy is made new to us each morning. Let us pray. O Holy One, you know us so well. You know when we stumble and when we fall, when we make the decisions we wish we wouldn't, and you, in turn, offer us grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy. So we thank you, Lord, this day. God, you who are our source of ever-flowing water, you who, when we turn to you, the well never runs dry, we give you thanks, God. Nourish us and sustain us by your Holy Spirit. Nourish us and sustain us and fill us and feed us with this meal that we might be empowered and that we might be willing and ready to go forth in your name to transform this world, to build houses for Habitat for Humanity, to make miracles happen for people by making vehicles their own, to drive to work. Vehicles that aren't necessarily new, but are new to them. Oh, loving God, we thank you for your grace. Encourage us in this journey. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I want you to know, we know that you are here. You're like the righteous remnant here on Labor Day weekend as we probably send 2/3 of our state up north. We wanted to give you something special today. So I want to let you know this is the world premiere of that song that you just heard. Mike Tooman wrote it, and this is the first time it's ever been played publicly. So let's give Mike a round of applause for that piece. Amen. So that's what you get for coming to church on a holiday weekend. You get to hear world premieres of new musical pieces. I want to share a couple of announcements with you. For those of you that don't know, the church is open Monday through Friday, ordinarily, most weeks. This particular week, of course, tomorrow will be closed due to the holiday. But ordinarily, the office is open during that time. If you need to come in and talk with us, the clergy, you're welcome to come in during that time, or if you have business to take care of. In addition, the United Methodist Women wanted to let you know that all of their books for the United Methodist Women's Reading Library are available for folks if you want to come check those out. In addition, we encourage you after worship to stop by the table, visit with Leah about Habitat for Humanity or with Bill about the NOAA Project, get more information about different ways that you can help in the mission and the ministry of the church during this time. As you depart from this place, from this worship service, I pray that you would have a blessed, safe, happy, enjoyable holiday weekend, and that you would be well, and that you would spend some time reflecting on all of the ways in our lives in which we take water for granted, the moments that we just turn on the shower or the water hose to water our garden, that we would remember that in order to produce one plastic bottle of water, sometimes it takes 2 gallons of water just so that we can have one plastic bottle of water. And all the while, throughout our entire world, there are hundreds of millions of people who have to make that daily walk for water. So as we conclude this 4-week sermon series about thirsting, about what it means to hunger and thirst, and what it means to struggle with wanting things, I hope that we would just be reminded that we shouldn't take things for granted, that a lot of the things that we have, others don't, and that we might be a piece of the solution for God's plan in this world, that everybody might someday have access to clean and safe drinking water. As we depart from this place, I pray we would go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go in peace, loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with 2 locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our 2 locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.